This book that lots of us have been reading called Dirty Glory, after every chapter, Pete Gregg has this little kind of thing where you're meant to read it and think and process what you've been reading. He calls it Selah. So as I'm putting the preaching schedule together, I put a couple of these little breaks in. And normally I just put three subjects, you know, whatever God is saying. But I thought, I'll call them Selah. I mean, only six people see this list, but I'm still thinking I'm impressed by myself. I mean, I have to because nobody else is, let's face it. So I'm impressed by myself with this little Selah word. And on Monday, we were going as a leadership team to pray for somebody. We do that, by the way. If you think, I could do with a bit of prayer, we'll come and see. We're like Ghostbusters. But with the Holy Spirit, we're bringing the ghost. Not stop digging, Pastor. Anyway. So we're going to pray with somebody. And I'm saying to the team, we're all in the same car, and I say to the team, it's a kind of a free subject. It's Selah on Sunday. Who's preaching? And I had it in the back of my head that Dave Clark was preaching. And Dave Clark had in the front of his head that he was in Cheltenham. So that wasn't going to happen. And you know when you say, who's doing that one? And there's like tumbleweed in the car. That'll be you then, Pastor. What shall I speak on? But I got this little word, and it is the word Selah. Selah. It's an incredible little word. And I'm going to read a bit of scripture for you, and then we're going to just have a little think about this word, what this word means. And off the back of that, we are then going to worship, because I think this word might inspire you a little bit. I'm going to read Psalm 84. Yeah, Psalm 84. It's on the screen, or you can turn to it in your paper Bibles if you've got one. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. That's a cracker, isn't it? Now, did you notice I didn't read out the word? So the word is Selah. And if you've got a paper Bible, do you remember them? If you've got a paper Bible, most kind of English translations will have that word, but it'll be at the side. So it's in there, but it's at the side. Now let me tell you, this is a preacher's dream, because no one knows what it means. Oh, glory, right? It means I can tell you anything. What difference does that make, eh? It's just what he does every week, doesn't it? What does this word mean? We're not even sure, actually, whether these words were put there by the original author. So as David or the sons of Korah, whoever it is who's writing this psalm, did they write this little word? Or was it a generation or two later as they're starting to sing these songs in worship? And is it some sort of musical direction? Is it a theological thing? And there's all these different ideas of what this word means, which just gives me great joy, and hopefully gives you a bit of joy as well. It is about pilgrimage. It's a funny little word. 71 times it appears in the Psalms. It only appears 74 times in the whole of Scripture. The other three are in Habakkuk. Appears 71 times. And it's this little word, this little bit of direction. It is about pilgrimage. And every single one of us here this morning is on pilgrimage. You might not have realized you are, but you are on pilgrimage. You might be here every week, and every week you're coming and you're expectant because you want to hear from God. I tell you, I was really expectant this morning. I was just full of joy. That Waves of Mercy song, that is a song that I should hate, right? Because it's a kid's song, and I've heard it a gazillion times, and those guys are practicing, and I was skipping through the room, wasn't I? Because I'm mental, A. But B, because it just does something to my soul. Waves of Mercy. Don't you need that this morning? For the mess your life is in, for the mess you place your brain goes, your thoughts go, your actions, all that stuff. Don't you need the mercy of God in waves coming at you, one wave at a time? Fantastic. You might be a pilgrim like me. You might have come to church this morning excited. You might have come to church this morning broken. You might be given this little idea of religion one last chance because you've been so hurt by the church. But you're still a pilgrim because you're trying to give God, I'll give you one more go. But if these are the same as the last lot, I'm off, mate. I'm going to join the 4 million churchless Christians in this nation. It's probably more than that. Because I can't cope with the church. I can't cope with the man or the woman at the front. Let's face it, normally the man. Can't cope with it. Perhaps you're that sort of pilgrim. Or perhaps you've never done church before at all. Well, you're a pilgrim. You're here. You've walked in the place, and God has got something to say to you. We are on pilgrimage. We are on Selah. In Hebrew, Selah means to pause. Pause. That's a great button to press, isn't it? When life is so busy, when life is so difficult. Some of you who are not yet retired, you need to press this button now. Because when you retire and everything stops, that can be such a shock to your system that you fall apart. Because we go, 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 and the kids leave home and the job stops. And it's like, oh, what am I for? Why am I here? What's life about? We need to press the pause button now to give God chance to speak to us, to hear what he says. We had that spoken word of the week on listen. We need to give God chance to speak to us, to listen. Desperate to press the pause button. The psalmist says to us, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their minds on pilgrimage. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who've set their minds on pilgrimage. We need to be those who set our minds on God and say, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to find you. We need to be deliberate in that. We need to be those who say, I'm going to try and hear from God today. You need to set a bit of time. Have you got your phones on you? Who has? Who's got the diaries with them? You need to diary in right now a bit of time with God. In my diary, Monday morning, 9 till 10, every week, it just says restoration in my diary. Someone emailed me saying, can I meet with you on Monday at 9 o'clock? I can't. I actually told them, it was a Christian who asked me, I can't meet you at 9 o'clock on Monday morning because I meet with God. We need to put this in our diaries. Now, some of you are thinking straight away, is that right for you, Pastor? That's what we pay you for. Actually, it's not. That's not true. I've put that into my life. No one has told me to do that. And for the guys who work for me, I'm saying to them, you need to put this in your life because that is where the change happens. In that half hour, in that hour of pause, that is where the change happens. That is where you will encounter God. That is where you will hear his voice. That is where the change will come from. That is where the peace happens. That is where the healing comes. You need to put this into your life. Now, if you go away this week and have half an hour with God and nothing changes, don't be surprised. It's like being on Slimming World. It takes a few weeks to notice. But after a few weeks, you start to notice the difference. After a bit longer, people start saying, Nick, have you lost weight? No, I'm just wearing black. Takes a little bit of time. for that to kick in. But if we start to deliberately give God time, then he will strengthen you. So get your diaries out. Half an hour at lunchtime, go and sit in the car. Saturday morning, go and walk along the prom. Get yourself to the cemetery. That's my favourite place. Honestly, it's fantastic. It's a beautiful place, full of wildlife, full of flowers. I'm seeking the living amongst the dead. It's an amazing place. Just be deliberate in your pause. If you want God to speak to you, you need to listen. And we live in such a noisy, noisy world. We need to set our minds on pilgrimage. We need to let God strengthen us. And we need to be realistic. I'm not asking you to do a quiet day. I'm not asking you to go off on the Santiago de Compostela or one of those amazing walks across the world where you meet God. That's not, most of us can't do that. But you can do half an hour this week, can you? Prayer is where the heavy lifting's done. If you are in a battle right now, you need to find some space. You need to press the pause button. You need to stop. You need to listen to hear what God is saying. Turn your phone off. I know, crazy. Turn your phone off. Turn your ears on. God, will you speak to me? If you want to be creative again, you need space in your life. If you want to hear God speak to you, you need space in your life. Press the pause button. Press it. And make it something that you do on a regular basis. Just as an aside, as you do that, you start to encounter God. And you start to encounter God, he calls you further and further and further into him. And the place to get that out is here in community. We're called as a people of God, not just as individuals, but to be together, to walk with him together. Selah means to pause. Selah means to praise. So the first interpretation is Hebrew. So the Hebrew is pause. But in the Greek, it's praise. We need to praise. Take you back to your GCSE, RE, sitting at the back, not really concentrating. But they used to talk about the Septuagint. Anybody heard that word? So the Septuagint was the Old Testament translated into Greek before the time of Jesus. That makes sense? Yeah? So Selah is always this idea of praise. In fact, it's a bit like a musical. It's not a bit like a musical. La! It's a bit like a musical command. So I don't read music. I don't understand music. I can't do music. But I'm told, careful here, that you'll see instructions on pieces of music. Is that right? And one of those is crescendo, to slowly build up, to get noisier and noisier and noisier. In my first 5 weeks at Long Lane, I had a gentleman come and see me and say, Nick, I think I need to leave this church. I mean, I love the church, but it's going to get noisier, isn't it? I was like, oh yes, baby. Oh, we haven't finished yet, 12 years later. Because sometimes we need to make some noise. There's nothing wrong with quiet, contemplative Christianity, but most of you are not that. Most of you are not quiet contemplatives. Most of you are screaming, raging scousers going, ah! Where is God in this? We need to make some noise, don't we? A few weeks ago I spoke about sometimes that Romans 8, that ah thing. I don't know whether you've tried it, but try it. Get yourself to the river, look into the river and shout. God, where are you? Where are you in this situation? With my children, with my parents, with my job, with my relationships. Where are you, God? Every single one of us has got a shout in us, haven't we? Let's make some noise. Selah means to pause, but it also means to praise. And we need to praise not when it's good. And it is good. I love church. But sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes life is hard. You know, I am a leader. I can't help myself. Control freak, some people would say. But let's stick with leader. And as I worship God, on a Sunday morning, I come here and I sit at the front. I'm a biker. My natural place is up there somewhere in the dark. I sit at the back and heckle. I'm not a front seat guy by nature. But what I want to do is say to you, follow me as I follow Jesus. I'm going to worship you, God, no matter what. No matter what I'm facing, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to worship you. And you don't know the state of my heart on a Sunday morning. But God does. And before him I say, Lord, I'm going to worship you this morning. And sometimes I'm high as a kite skipping, that was this morning. And sometimes I'm not, but it doesn't matter. It's an act of the will. It's Sela, I will praise you. Even in the Valley of Baca. You might never have heard of the Valley of Baca, but it already sounds rough, doesn't it? I went to a school called The Manor. Now, if I say to you, I went to a school called The Manor, you either know it's a prep school or it's rough. Is that fair? It's just got that sound, hasn't it? Like you're going to get your head smashed in the first day you turn up. It was that one, not the prep school. The Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca is a valley of weeping. You are in a place of weeping, and God is saying to you, you need to praise. You need to praise because it's an act of the will. And you're not praising God for the cancer. You're not praying God for the divorce. You're not praying God for the debt or the sickness. You're not doing any of that nonsense. You're not somehow trying to screw your way into saying this horrible stuff is good, because it's not good. But God is good. And he says to us, if you can praise your way out of this, you can praise your way in this. Is that what Helen said this morning? Because I'm going to, whatever, God, I know that you are good. And my options are life with you or life without you. And either way, you end up in the Valley of Baca. True? So I might as well praise in the middle of it. Valley of Baca is a valley of weeping. And it's a valley of thirst. And if you're thirsty, start to praise God. Get yourself on Amazon and order some CDs. Ask Siobhan, Ruth, and Kate, what are we singing? I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I love that song this morning. First time I've heard it. Get that stuff on your car. Get that stuff on your phone. Start listening. Go back. Get the world's best 1,000 hymns. I don't care what the style is. The issue is, I will, Salah, I will praise. Because I am thirsty. You need to take a drink. Don't wait till Sunday. To be fed next Sunday, you might not like the music. Next Sunday might be too loud. Next Sunday you might not like the drums. Next Sunday you might not like la 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 la, whatever. This is about us pressing the pause button and praising. Let's see what God does when we do that. Now that's an interesting word. You have to be really careful how you say it. To prostrate, fall. Got it. I actually Googled to prostrate, fall, and you got loads of prostate pictures. It's a bit like Pacific and specific. Have you noticed a lot of people use, I mean, what winds me up, people will use Pacific, meaning specific. It's one of those little things. That go, oh! But in the English language, it is becoming the same word. It won't be long before it's allowed. Might be allowed already. Because language changes. So anyway, we're not talking about prostrate. We're talking about prostrate. Fall on your feet. Fall on your face. Hebrew, selah, means pause. And Greek, selah, means praise. But in Aramaic, the language of Jesus, it means to fall. To fall. Maybe you need to fall on your knees today. Maybe you need to get before God on your knees. Jesus says in Matthew 6, don't do it as a show. Don't do it as a show. Do it because you've encountered God or because you want to. I have this, occasionally in my life I've heard the audible, voluble voice of God. But most of the time I just get this sense, this idea. And now and again I'll get this, just get on your knees. You know, at home, in the office, just get on your knees. And you've got two choices. You obey or you disobey. But some of us need to get on our knees before God today. We need to get on our knees before God because we are just seeing one thing after another. We're getting battered, 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 battered. Lord, I just need to get on my knees before you. You are God. I am not. will you do something? Or we need to recognize who he is, this amazing God of ours. We need to fall on our knees, fall on our face before him. The revelation of his glory. He's amazing. Fall flat, give him praise. Go to your room, find a place, get before him. Lord, I need to pause, I need to praise, I need to fall, and I need to proclaim you are good. Last language, Latin. God, we're doing it this morning, aren't we? It's not normally this intellectual. There we are. In the Vulgate, which is a Latin translation of the Old Testament, Selah means to proclaim. A bit like an amen or a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah. And as you read through the Psalms, you think, oh, that would work, wouldn't it? It's like you're reading the Psalms, and every so often there's this Selah, and you're like, yes, it's like a yes, come on, amen. Amazing. Thank you, Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Selah! Are you with me? We need to proclaim what God has done. We're terrified in the West of declaring what God has done. We're terrified of it. I mean, we're good at it in church. You know, Katie was here this morning. We're seeing healing in Katie's life. We want more. We're seeing healing in Katie's dad's life. We want more. Becky wrote that spoken word this morning because she's seen healing. She couldn't have wrote that last year, could you, Beck? Amazing. We're good at announcing it in the church, but actually we need to proclaim in the world in which we live that God is good. God is for us. God is for you. And he wants to do something in your life. The power of the story of glory is amazing. If God is doing something in your life, you need to give him praise. You need to press the pause button this week. You need to press the pause button. I mean, you might be doing too much church. Stop. I have got a great gift in stopping things. I mean, I believe it's a Holy Spirit thing. What the church likes to do is start something and keep it going for 300 years. Don't they? And make everybody miserable. And my favorite quote from The Simpsons, you're just lucky God's not here. We need to stop things. Let's stop that. See what happens. Give God a bit of time. We've stopped the fun day this year. And I know a few folk have said, I'm a bit concerned about Nick. And I listen, I understand the concern. But I want to give God space. Because, you know, we're not going to do nothing, are we? We're proactive. We're white Protestants, most of us. Black Protestants, the rest of us. We're going to do something. We're doers, aren't we? But sometimes we need space to hear, God, what is the thing? What is the next thing? What is the right thing? What do you need to put down today? What do you need to stop doing? Who do you need to tell at work tomorrow? I'm going part-time. Where's Andy? No. What do you need to stop doing? So that God can speak into your life. No one else can do it for you. You can't have my spirituality. You can't have my hour in the cemetery on a Monday morning. But you can have your own. What are you going to pause? What do you need to praise God for? And where do you need to praise God through? When do you need to fall on your feet? And what do you need to proclaim?